Welcome to Lead with Heart. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and today we explore the essence of leadership beyond strategy and status. You're watching Now Media Television.
Hello, and welcome to Lead with Heart, where we explore what it truly means to lead from presence, purpose, and authenticity. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen. And today's conversation is one that speaks deeply to the inner journey many of us experience long before our work or titles even make sense. Joining us today is Edward Zadelman, an advisor, writer, and innovator who has spent more than two decades guiding people through the creation of retreat centers, regenerative communities, and land-based projects that serve both people and the planet. Ed's work is rooted not just in development strategy, but in the deeper questions of meaning, possibility, and how we live as humans. So this first segment is going to take us back in time before Ed was who he is today. This segment is all about getting to know you better as a human and the origins. So I would like to know, what happened? What do you know about your own development from childhood to early adolescence? What started to shape you to become the amazing man you are now?
Thanks, Jesse. Well, I grew up as a son of Ukrainian immigrants in Brooklyn, New York, and I was a nightclub promoter in my early days, and I was fascinated with community. I really enjoyed bringing people together, and also my father, probably at about age like 13, 14, started giving me books, Deepak Chopra, Tony Robbins, Dale Carnegie, and he said, you're not going to necessarily learn this in school, and this is important. Emotional intelligence, things that would help me grow my character. I might have gotten a little bit too into that from a productivity, personal growth phase in high school, but it really set me on the trajectory to look at who I am and why I'm here. And my second big why, which is what does community look like in the world? And there was a point where nightlife was not that anymore. It was community, but to be honest, fueled by substances and unhealthy behaviors. And I took a big pause in life at that point. And
what age would that be at, roughly?
Yeah, so I was in nightlife in high school. I know this sounds funny, but we were throwing parties where we cut the bar, and it's no ID. And it was wildly successful in New York, and I was working with celebrities and Britney Spears and all these people. And it was very cool to bring 5,000 people under one roof once a month without alcohol. I didn't know until I knew that alcohol could be replaced with other substances. The high schools were furious. I mean, we had New York, New Jersey, Connecticut high schools with flyers for these parties, like after prom with Britney Spears. And there was a point where I was like, what the heck am I doing here? My dad was quitting his business, which was kind of toxic in his life, and starting to clean his body with top doctors in functional medicine.
Nice.
And I went with him. And oh my God, was my body polluted from my lifestyle. Also from living in New York, the heavy metals that were in my body. When I cleansed, I felt incredible. And I was like, wow,
You didn't even know that existed, right?
I didn't know words like health reserve existed. That like, I just dealt with fatigue through high school, taking Adderall, working hard. But I was exhausted. My adrenals were shot. You know, everything was kaput. And when I cleaned out my body of heavy metals, of toxins, it was not easy. It felt like a scientist at that time. I was seeing reports, and just mercury out of my body, the energy that I felt was incredible.
Wow.
And my father asked me, but he really looked at the family, and he said, why don't we do this? And I was like, this what? Because I was leaving nightlife, and I'm also looking at, you know, doing something in community and with people and health, and I was going on retreats a lot at that point. I was already entering college, but you know, when he really said, like, hey, let's make a big shift in our family's life, and this is going to be it for us, something pretty tragic happened at the time, which was my grandpa got cancer, pancreatic cancer.
Oh, wow.
Which later my mom would get and survive. But it was even more the impulse that we have to change the way we're living, eating, you know.
Yeah, everything.
Working, lifestyle. And so I left nightlife. My dad left a successful career. I spent about a year and a half working with the founders of Burning Man at that point. I hadn't totally gotten the picture.
I wanted to see. You wanted to keep one foot in?
My buddy Bear dragged me into this thing, and here I am, like, seeing community again in a new form. That really gave me a lot, but I also knew when it was time that I was done. Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
No, I appreciate opening up with all that. I wonder, you kind of started your story with adolescence in those books. Hmm. I'm wondering, and you know, shadow and light are all are allowed here. What, yeah, curious from the younger years in particular, maybe there's any case stories, but really more like, I'm curious to learn the dynamics, the emotional, relational dynamics sure. that you grew up in. What was part of your family life? Us nerdy psychologists call it your primary scenario.
Yeah, I can tell
what,
you that.
What was that like for you, Ed?
First of all, I do, before going into that, many years I was bitter about certain things of my past when I realized somebody said, you know, your parents never got a guidebook on how to raise kids. I mean, my dad fled the Soviet Union through Italy to get to the U.S. so that we could have a life, you know? And so I realized, like, talking about the past, it's with some reverence. It's not like, oh, my parents did that. And
absolutely. As a psychologist, I used to collude with the wounded inner child, the bitter teenager, whatever it would be, until I became a father myself. Mm. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, it's so hard to manage our own reality and emotions and take on especially more than one kid. So please know that for all our viewers, that is a, you know, we love and honor our parents, and none of us do it right or perfect. So as much as you're comfortable sharing, what was some of like the, you know, for light and shadow dynamics that helped shape you even before the books were given?
Well, there was always, my core pain point was I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy. So I had to prove my worth. I even see to this day nicks of validation and things coming up where I'm like, oh, did you need to say that name of that person?
Or,
There was a thing of I'm not good enough and I'm not worthy and I'll get kicked out of the tribe in my household.
And how did that happen back? Like, was it like that mom and dad were just so busy you were unnoticed? Are you the youngest?
No, it was just always looking at like what Ed's going to create. What grades is he going to get? Who's he becoming? Is he going to get into a good college? Is he going to create Airbnb? And so I felt, and maybe it wasn't even on them. Maybe it was self-induced, this pressure to prove myself. I also learned how to make money on my own at a point in time where my family's wealth had really declined. And I was like, oh, I could hustle. I'm from Brooklyn. Like, I'll go promote nightclubs. Yeah. That was hard. And it was empowering to see what I was capable of at an early age in my life. But I think, you know, the scenarios were both shadow and light, meaning my father pushed me to be my best, and sometimes I felt like living up to his expectations. My mother might judge something I'm wearing, but she also cared that I didn't look like a crazy skater kid. I used to wear like jeans that were, you know,
baggy.
So I look back and a lot of the things were, they all came from love, but it took me many years to understand that.
To get over the bitterness.
Yeah. Awesome. And I think that was really it. Those were my core things that I look like what trails through to now. Yeah,
that theme of the pressure to perform, the pressure to get it right, very common, you know, I would say as a psychologist, as a generalization, not an exact data point, but often, with, you know, with father, that idea of like, I've got to be good enough to make him happy. And, you know, I just want to acknowledge, I think that happens for a lot of leaders. And there's a beauty in that it creates the drive and it creates the motivation and the success. And the shadow of it is that sometimes it can, at the very least, create some bitterness or a feeling of distance, but also, as you name there, like that feeling of like, am I enough? And you know how I move through life from that place. So no, that's great. No, thank you for opening up the childhood piece. And then coming back now, just to help myself understand. So overall, grew up in a beyond good enough home. The main pieces there were some feelings of pressure. You know, sort of getting identity through what you can accomplish, what you can achieve. And then at roughly 13, 14, you get these books, which are advanced for that age, and they're more into, you know, metaphysics or deeper understanding of life, right? Hmm. And so if you can just help me just see from there, where did you go as you went into 20s and 30s and starting to become, and when we get into the next segment after this break, we'll go into current day, but just give me a little bit more on how you advanced through those years.
Sure. So those were fun years. I was at NYU and I was traveling. with Burning Man team, the core team, I was like a kid in a candy store because there's no PhD for event producers, the kind I would want. I'm sure there is. But this was it, you know, somebody pulling together 70,000 people in a desert with shared values. And later I would see also things that were like, okay, this is limited in certain capacities, but it blew me open to what was possible with creativity and art and humans caring about each other. And my dad had a joke, and he was right. He was like, I've never seen so many PhDs work on a Burning Man camp. And I'm like, this is it, you know? It's crazy. People who have serious jobs and investors and whoever, all mixing, all walks of life. And that's where things start to get a little bit interesting, because I did notice ego come in and another kind of elitism, because you do have the who's who at Burning Man, founders of the biggest companies in the world. You know, and so there was this like other form of like the nightlife has the velvet rope. Burning Man has these salons in the deep playa with, you know, I'm not going to drop the names of who, but, you know, enough. And I saw certain patterns of where there was also that validation in myself, like the Burning Man guy. But I had gotten enough from it that when the call came at one point to look at what's next in life, I was armed with great tools. And that's when I was mentioning my grandpa got sick. My dad said, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know what you want to do. I said, I like retreats and personal development. And I was going to events like Summit, Summit Series and Sandbox with entrepreneurs and bright minds. I'm like, Dad, this, the wellness, like all of that. And he's like, let's build a wellness and longevity center with retreats, with functional medicine. But let's build it as a community where people could live this way.
Wow.
And my eyes lit up, and I was like, dude, I've been studying eco-villages and Burning Man. And
it's super exciting, Ed. And and I want to hear more on that. We're going to take a quick break, but just also quickly acknowledge that's so beautiful that, you know, the overlap of father and son and him working to get himself healthier and cleaner and you doing the same. And now, whatever that would be, 10 or 15 years later, looking at what's coming. So please stay tuned. When we get back, we're going to hear more from Ed about who he is and who he's becoming. So stay tuned here on Lead with Heart on Now Media TV.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead with Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead with Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose.
Hi, and welcome back to Lead with Heart. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to Lead with Heart and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast versions right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back to Lead with Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen, and today I have the pleasure of being joined with Edward Zadelman. You were just opening up so beautifully about your journey and how you've moved through childhood into the Burning Man stages to this very cool precipice. So pick up from here. Help me and the viewers understand how you are, who you are now, and that last few bits to get us to that point.
Sure, sure. And you know, essentially where we left off was I was ready for a leap of faith. And so was my family. And we went all in to look at where in the world could we build a place conducive to people living better, to humans thriving.
And this is a New York family. And it's you knew it wasn't New York.
And by the way, my dad immigrated from the Soviet Union. He smelled things were off. He was also talking to me about, Ed, like, the U.S. is changing quickly. And he's a patriot, by the way. It's not one of the, you know. But he said, look, let's start to look where we could live with clean water, clean food, where it's not hard to do this. We looked all over the world, but Costa Rica hit all our checkboxes. No army, literacy rates, nature, you know, most biodiverse country per square foot. So we fell in love with Costa Rica as a canvas. You know, later I would look back and realize how naive I was, thinking that I could just jump to Costa Rica to build an eco-village and healing center, raise money, you know, do all of this. And I was at Whole Foods in Edgewater, New Jersey, and I met, I saw a guy with a Costa Rica veggie bus. And it was later one of my buddies, Stephen Brooks, and it said Copali Organics. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, we have this chocolate company from Costa Rica. I'm like, I'm moving to Costa Rica to build an eco village. What do you do there? And he's like, I have an eco village and do a festival and have a retreat center. And I'm like, no way. That is everything I wanted.
That's how you met Stephen Brooks.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, you know, long story short, I dove into something that I'll save the story for now, but ground up building a center and hosting retreat after retreat that wore me to a pulp. Yeah, similar to New York, but I called it the eco rat race.
Pause on that for a second, because that's huge. You said similar to New York. I can relate to that. I've lived here now 5 years, and I often say the language, I'm a recovering gringo. Mm-hmm. I'm still getting that. I realize, like, I can bring the rat race mentality with me wherever I go. And also, as I work to expand, whether that's building a home, a center, whatever it is, those elements bring that in. So I just appreciate that wisdom you're bringing. And also just orient me. This is now roughly a decade ago, 2 decades ago.
So this is 20 years ago from now.
Okay.
But basically right after college, my family and I started coming to Costa Rica to scout land. I moved in my junior year of college. I finished from here.
Okay.
I was a philosophy major and I was ready. And we started scouting land and doing the whole process that people do.
Okay. And as you were mentioning, you were met with, you know, some version of a dark night of the soul, some way that you pushed yourself so hard that it really broke you.
Yeah, because, you know, at the end of the day, I was still a guy from New York who came to Costa Rica, and I'm trying to make some part of my dream a reality. And it involves raising money and finding land and architects. And my dad basically took the last of our money and invested it here. But it was my job to go make a project.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was drinking all the Kool-Aid. I was going to Burning Man, and I was pitching people. And I'm a little bit sensitive to that now because I see what I did back in the day. And I raised the money, and I started building the place. But, Jesse, the dark night of the soul happened because we weren't equipped.
Yeah.
I never ran a hotel. We were cooking for groups of 40, you know, on a two-burner stove. My marriage at the time was getting really worn thin by operating a retreat center, the project not happening, and everything one day came crashing down. I couldn't do it. I couldn't raise any more money for the eco village. Yeah. I was tired of running a retreat center.
Yeah.
Night and day, group after group, integration, welcome, integration, welcome. I mean, you could be a Navy SEAL and that's hard. And eventually the whole house of cards came crashing down. I said, you know, Dad, I can't do this. I can't work with you. I can't raise money.
Wow. So many, so many people had so many leaders. I've heard that story and I recognize myself too. It was like that push to grow, that push to scale, and we end up burning ourselves out. So I want to hear more about the dark night of the soul, but I want to save that for the next segment called The Lotus. For now, can you help me understand too? Like, so we know that happened in there. We're going to dive deeper into it. Bring us to, you know, the relative present moment. Like, who are you today and what are you doing and how are you showing up as a leader?
Sure. I've used my 20 years of experience to help people looking to do land stewardship projects, retreat centers, eco-villages, homes, not make the mistakes I did. And it's not in construction, it's in things like clarity of vision, agreement between stakeholders.
Yeah.
There's so much to
it. It's the human part, right? It's the relational and human part that you can shepherd well now.
Yeah. So I took those lessons from running my own property to later working at a corporate hotel company, you know, basically down to regular people that I saw making huge life decisions. And I meet CEOs of companies who are like, Ed, I just took ayahuasca, resigned from my board, I'm getting a divorce, and let's do a project in Costa Rica. And I'm like, whoa. Let's slow down. But I do want to say that one part of my work, later I met a teacher, mentor, friend who kind of pointed out to me the reality behind everything I was doing. And she put a big mirror up.
What'd you see in the mirror?
I saw a fucking... Excuse me.
That's okay.
I saw a fraud.
A fraud.
I saw a scared kid trying to prove himself at Burning Man, trying to prove himself with the coolest retreat center and the events, and make a buck so his family doesn't go under. And every time I went to give a talk at a festival, I was raising money. I felt so disingenuous. And yes, I'm not like speaking poorly if somebody has to go and do a speaking gig. I do them. But there was a part of me that was selling something that doesn't need to be sold. And later I would realize studying regenerative development that thank God I didn't do that eco-village. The way I had thought about it back then, it would have been a gated community like where you and I are from, yeah, with some fruit trees.
Right.
So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's powerful. It helps me also link together from the first segment. Yeah, there's just the stuff you were being vulnerable about with childhood, even though there was no malice involved with the parents, but that kid who needed to prove himself, needed to be seen. And so that's huge. Thank you for being vulnerable and owning that. And so I'm wondering, so as you had that mirror shown to you in that way, yeah, it helped me understand then how is it different now? Like,
yeah,
you know, yeah, yeah.
This is very interesting. So big shift happens after Dark Night of the Soul. I do all my work. I meet a buddy who helps me create a very simple consulting business so I could take my knowledge and share it as a coach and advisor. That's what I've been doing for the last 5 years. And when I met my friend Ronit from Leap Forward, you know, she really challenged me to look at things that I didn't want to look at. The core pain points that we talked about, yeah, how I project those in my relationships with others. And then I was like, oh my God, so if I'm coaching someone who's a family office or a billionaire or whoever they are, I'm like automatically looking at how's their relationship with their family?
Yeah.
What's really going, like, why are they doing this project? Is it to be a savior? Same could be, it doesn't have to be a wealthy person, it could be anyone, but where is the intention coming from? And I wouldn't have been able to do that work, honestly. In the beginning, I was just a coach helping people build smart.
Right, right.
You know, yeah. Not like, it's very hard to build the kind of studio we're in, but, you know, people are looking to build complicated things in the jungle. And yes, I have an experience in that. But the real issue is when I sit with them late night and we're talking about the things that move them, and today the world is at a tipping point. And so when I look at, wow, what are we going to do here? How are we going to steward these resources? Part of me used to not have the guts to say what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, this project it's not going to happen in 3 years.
The version before the mirror, right?
Yeah.
Was like, you would not say that, but now you let truth arrows fly.
Yeah, and that wouldn't have happened with my work in Leap Forward and with Ronit. I mean, we work day in and day out as a community. I spend half my time doing this and reprogramming. It was cool to read a bunch of books and see all these things about my childhood wounds, but to reprogram that, yeah. I have a friend every day who, when I'm projecting some validation stuff, he or she will say, Ed, pause.
Yeah.
That really changed how I work, and I do that with my clients, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, pause, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, beautiful, yeah, man.
So, yeah, that's it.
No, I think, you know, one of my other hopes and wishes with this show is to keep fleshing out the vulnerable aspects of being human. And I feel like, you know, especially with the rise of AI, and I'm, you know, even if I didn't like AI, it's not like I can stop it. It's happening for all of us. But that changes it. It can jeopardize the humanness in this. So part of the hope with this show is also to realize, even as much as AI might be there or whatever, humans, business is being done with humans, right?
Yeah.
And so this is where also I'm so grateful for your vulnerability and showing up, because this is what I want, is for people to realize that this is the humanness behind every great leader and people we put on pedestals of big companies or whatever. If you really get into the nitty gritty, we've all got a story.
Yeah.
And by really getting to know you better in this case, or anyone that's brave enough to open up like this, I feel like, to me, that's what actually builds trust, not just as human, but even of someone that I would want to do business with. I'd feel better about that, knowing more of who they are and not just the fraud, right? Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate you bringing all this, Ed. And I wonder if you could, before we take this next break, and we're going to come back and talk more about the dark night of the soul and how to grow lotuses, can you just quickly tell our guests how they can keep in touch with you if they wanted to reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm quite easy to reach. My Substack, livethepossibility.news, you can message me there. You could also go to my website, livethepossibility.co. There's a contact form. And I do answer things like Instagram. It's just my name, Edward Zadelman. So write me. I love talking to people, and I have a lot of free resources I share. So,
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Ed. Please stay tuned on Lead with Heart here on Now Media TV.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead with Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead with Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose.
Hello, and welcome back to Lead with Heart. I am your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen. And in this segment called The Lotus, we're going to be diving into the heart of transformation. Ed Zadelman is with me here today in the studio. Thank you, Ed. And you've already been opened up so beautifully about a lot about your past, where you've gotten to now. And you referenced it a few times, the dark night of the soul that happened, you know, roughly 20-ish years ago. Whatever you feel comfortable sharing with myself and the viewers, what really happened there? And more so than any, you know, deep story details, those are welcome, but I want to help you extract like more consciousness around how did you do that? How did you not get stuck there?
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds like you mentioned a marriage or, you know,
had
right?
a divorce. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot in there. So please share with us.
Yeah. So, there got to be a tipping point in my life where I couldn't keep the train running any longer. I couldn't keep hosting retreats, raising money for an eco village, all of that stuff. I felt like a fraud. And, it all came crashing down. My marriage was falling apart. I got a divorce. My relationship with my father, we stopped speaking.
He was also angry at you or just not happy?
I mean, we were father and son working together. You could have a whole nother segment on that, yeah. You know? And I didn't know what was left to do for me. I did plant medicine. I worked with top healers. I had a healing center.
Yeah.
Okay. Not hard to work through your stuff, but I needed to shut it all down, and I walked away from everything. I walked away from my business, my marriage, and I needed to get clarity. Mm. I went on about a 1-year walkabout, went to Taos, worked with an alchemist, had a mentor. I always had some person that, when I was lost, would show up, and I'm really grateful for that, if you're open to it. And things started to change at one point after the rock bottom. I had seen that basically the show is over. I'm done being the eco village guy, the retreat center guy. I'd mentioned to you later when I had met my one of my teachers, Ronit from Leap Forward. She said, I heard a lot about you. And I was like, she's going to say the guy who has the retreat centers. And she was like, no, I heard you're like a fraud and went through a messy divorce and investors are pissed. And I turned pale. And I was like, Humble. Oh my God, I have work to do. This is after like years of ayahuasca, master plant medicines, everything, but had really not addressed the core issue, which was I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, and I'm in this like survival thing.
Show off, yeah, show off equals survival, right?
Yeah, yeah. And okay. And started to work on it. I decided that, look, I need a humble career that would allow me to...
I'm going
to
jump in real quick because I see a lotus. So this is, the other part is this. How do you grow your lotuses? And that's what I just heard was humbleness and the willing to listen. And that person you just named who gave you that reflection of like, no, actually, you're not the cool retreat center guy. Yeah. You are the fraud. That's a moment where others would have chose to just continue to, well, I'll be a better fraud. I'll show them, or I'll go and run and hide through substances or otherwise, right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to pause you on that to just say, like, that's an awesome moment to look back in your life around that lotus, to choose vulnerability, to choose humbleness, to recognize, wow, that's how I'm being perceived. Let that become a growth opportunity rather than fight back against it. So,
and all the way to this day, I mean, today in a conversation with the same individual, something in the way I communicated was brought up. And she said, hey, do you want to be impeccable with your word? Mm. It's the same thing. Maybe it's not the integrity issues of back then, but how I speak, how I communicate, what I say. You know, it's really, for me, and not something that you like handle one day and like, oh, I fixed that or I did that. But yeah, just starting to become a more impeccable person and starting to live into the why that I told you about more. I realized, yes, I was talking about community and people thriving, but I wasn't really walking my walk. So first to accept that humbly, and then two, to say, okay, what do I want to do about it?
What did you do at that time?
Oh, well, that was an interesting time. One, I reluctantly joined this community that Ronit had created called Leap Forward. Mm-hmm. Signed a contract with my values and agreements of integrity. We're on time. I mean, I can't even tell you, like, a small integrity break for us is a tidal wave.
Mm-hmm.
Being late to a meeting that you didn't let someone know about.
Yeah.
It's no different than lying.
Yeah.
And so for the last 4 years, I made a choice to do business half my time and work in a nonprofit, Leap Forward, half my time.
Mm.
Basically creating a structure where I could make enough money to live. I didn't need to make millions. For a couple of years, I said, look, I want to work on my inside. I want to make enough money in a couple hours that I could pay my rent. It's not the year to be Elon Musk. And I wouldn't dedicate my time to real interpersonal and personal development.
Yeah.
That's another
powerful choice point, right? To like, that's a brave piece, and like to find that balance and to see, wow, okay, this is actually a priority to me. And I can echo that in my own life, the periods where I've chosen to do that and definitely in people I've held space for, where it really is a choice point to prioritize doing the work, self-development, but really what is it? It's self-love. Right, it's to love myself enough, not from the ego place that wanted to be the super retreat guy, but from a humble place that said, wow, let me know myself even deeper and lead more with heart, right?
Yeah, and I think there was something missing for me that this is a good point to weave in, which was I always treated my personal and spiritual development as such, personal.
Mm-hmm. Separate from...
Separate. I would read books, I would go on a retreat, I'm with a group of people for a week. But what was interesting to me about Ronit, because she had studied with a lot of top thought leaders and Ram Dass and Thich Nhat Hanh and worked with the Dalai Lama. And I'm like, what'd you see? What'd you learn? And as a clinical psychologist, she saw that a lot of the fruits of the tree were not of the tree, that a lot of these teachers were themselves a certain way, but it wasn't translating in the masses. And what she saw, similar to stroke victims, is you need containment and you need reinforcement to rewire. And so here comes in my other why. What does community look like in the world? When I came to Costa Rica, I didn't find what I was looking for. I found eco-villages, but it was not what I saw in my head and felt in my heart as what the community movement is and people caring for each other. Now, basically, community got redefined for me in this case as somebody who's going to help me and cares for my personal development, walking each other home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this was the glue that I was missing, not just for community, but to actually have progress in all of that personal development stuff. Because I was reading the books, Jesse, but I was still like...
But you're still running the game and
the
Costa Rican rat race, jungle rat race, you call it.
I could talk the talk of awesome on a stage at a festival, but I was doing the same thing as I always was in New York until I wasn't.
Wow, that's powerful. Doing the same thing in New York, just down in the jungle. So in this place of like looking at how you've grown lotuses, a couple things I've highlighted is that choice point and however that happened in your, you know, guess connection to your soul in that moment to say, hey, let me look at this. I wonder if you could speak a little bit to what you know about, you know, where my expertise are, but somatic psychology or, you know, what about you and your body? You know, how has that been like when you were running the game and when your body was so toxified when you were young versus then clean body, but you know, not fully operating in integrity. What do you know about that? How's that been in your journey?
It's interesting because that's a question that goes up until now where I noticed first that I was numbing a lot of my pain. My current pain at the time that I was running that crazy business, my childhood pain, and I was always busy. So whether it was numbing with substances, with work, it didn't matter. I was not connected to feeling.
Yeah.
I was afraid to feel.
To your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, yes, I had those breakthrough moments in a ceremony where I felt God and I felt my heart, but it wasn't anchored in my day-to-day awake awareness. And even now I notice sometimes my nervous system is reacting to threats that don't exist. And that's the main somatic work we were doing in Leap Forward, was looking at our bodies, that I'm not getting attacked by a saber-toothed tiger. And the way we're wired is to respond to ancient threats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this whole time, I'm responding with fight or flight, survival, keep my family safe, you know, build this like eco-village bubbles in case the world explodes, you know? And yeah, that doesn't work. Yeah. It simply doesn't work that way, you know? And so, you know, I found being able to look at the reality that I'm faced with and start to rewire actively with a group of people and say, hey, there is no saber-toothed tiger. There is no threat. I need to prove to my body. And so we'll pause each other.
Yeah, yeah. We're such mirrors for each other, man. As you were saying all that, I humbly admit, you know, it's so easy to get in that consciousness of fight or flight, survival, especially as the father of a household or, you know, father of a company or whatever it would be, or mother even, but of that way that it can just, we might get it done, but the place we get it done from isn't as authentic, and usually there's cracks in it, right? So I love that you've said all that, and you know, for myself as a somatic psychologist, that is the main thing I see, is that people will read the books, they will do the, you know, summits, they'll do the whatever it is, but they want to skip past that part where, and one of my favorite things to lovingly tease people with is that the body is the unconscious mind. Or the unconscious mind is the body. The body's holding all of that. And so when we say, oh, I want to get my body to know there's not a saber-toothed tiger, really what it is at a sort of psychosomatic and spiritual level is there's still younger versions of me that are running the show. And I'm not really fully actually the age that I like to think I am or I tell everybody I am. My body is that age, but emotionally, my emotional operating system is still active on, I need to prove myself because I'm still 5, 10, 15, right?
Isn't that scary though?
For me, it's scary and exciting. It's kind of where I spend most of my days, and especially in my private practice, but in my own personal work, it is scary. And yet, you know, the ancient wisdom tells us that the way out of all this is through it. And so that's where I'm like, okay, it's scary. And there's such a difference in the payout between someone that fixes themselves through CBT or spiritual bypass methodologies or affirmations versus the person that, you know, that I'm continually learning who you are, and more of us are waking up that we really do need to integrate the body into our healing process. And not just at, though it's great to do yoga, it's great to do physical cleanses, parasite cleanses, all that, so supportive, yet that's not somatics, that's physical, that's third dimension, right? We are multidimensional beings. So when we get back, we're going to extract more wonderful wisdom out of Ed's shares that helps us all continue to learn how to lead with heart even better in our lives. So thank you, everyone. Stay tuned here on Now Media TV. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen. This is Lead with Heart. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead with Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead with Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose.
Welcome back to Lead with Heart. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to Lead with Heart anytime on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more, Now Media TV is available 24/7. Welcome back to Lead with Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse, and in this final segment with Edward Zadelman, we're going to be extracting the wisdom and seeing what there is and that we can all learn from his vulnerability and his experience. So we were just pausing on that notion of, can it be scary that there's such a distant, you know, for your own personal self, acknowledging that moment when you were more disembodied. I feel that in the sense that we have an extremely disembodied culture. One of my other projects, mentalhealth.com, my lead blog there is called, If We Want to Find Enlightenment, We've Got to Be Willing to Lose Our Mind. And so I hear this, and I wanted to pass it over to you to just see, yeah, what do you see in your eyes? And especially since, you know, so young, you've been thinking about community and how we impact each other. So what do you see for yourself or others when we look at sort of the disembodied culture that we're all addicted to screens and being in our head?
Yeah, so, you know, earlier when I had said it's scary, isn't it? What I was realizing is that I'm an example of millions of people out there who are acting from early childhood traumas, wounds, whatever it is. Now, if I look at that on a societal level and see what we're doing to the planet with ecological destruction, wars where we're killing each other, I don't know how long we're going to have left if we keep acting as a society from those wounds. Presidents acting like children. And yes, these aren't my words. I had sight poured into my eyes because I was blind to it. Mm-hmm. You know, even as a Jew, I see the rise of anti-Semitism and I forget and I'm back in my iPhone or in my business. And so it takes staying, unfortunately, in touch with, oh man, there's some painful stuff happening in the world. So I don't see this as my individual journey. I see that as a collective, if we don't change, it doesn't matter AI or environmental degradation, we're going to work ourselves into a very bad place.
And it does seem to I think many people, one of the things I've noted is the Edelman Trust Barometer, which is a global study, and it looks at, you know, at the trust patterns amongst leadership and communities, and we're at all-time lows in human history. So, you know, I would say we are already working in that direction. And that's another hope that conversations like these can inspire, you know, everyday folks as well as epic leaders to rise and to realize, wow, am I walking the talk? Am I working within integrity? Am I growing any lotuses in my life? Or am I just letting unconscious childhood patterns repeat themselves over and over?
Right.
So you've touched on so much here from your early childhood with, you know, the pressures of performance and some levels of, you know, imposter or fraud coming up. You've guided us through your journey into how you ended up in Costa Rica and what you're doing now. I wonder if you can kind of take some breaths into all of that story you've shared and just talk to me and the viewers about what wisdom do you feel honored to be walking with now after all this lived experience? And
yeah, I think it would be responsibility.
The ability to respond.
Yeah.
Say more, please.
I have to be responsible for my own actions and my own integrity. And I also have to be responsible with what I'm here to do with my time. I mentioned to you that I build eco-villages and retreat centers as a job, but I don't know if that's what's going to shift the world today, given what we just talked about. Maybe 10 years ago, it was a great idea, and it still is. I believe that it's part of a future of humanity. Yeah. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about that if I really look honestly at what's going on, then what am I doing? Even in my job, how am I talking to that person and saying, man, you want to take your resources from a hedge fund and invest in regenerative development or help a country? I really need to help them hone in, as a friend says, on their legacy.
Yeah.
And also not do it in silos, Jesse. You're around a lot of PhDs and doctors. You know, the thing that I saw that was everyone's talking incredible when you go to a conference, but everyone's isolated.
Mm-hmm.
One of the projects we have at Leap Forward that Ronit leads, the Future Human Institute, it's to bring psychologists, neurologists, sociologists, different experts, AI, together to stop working in silos. We did it with the Manhattan Project. Mm-hmm. We did it with CERN, mm-hmm. where scientists mm-hmm. come together. Mm-hmm. Why can't we do it with human evolution?
Yeah, and community and sustainable food and water.
Yeah.
Things like this, right?
And use that thing that you said, the iPhone. Instead of programming the neocortex and the prefrontal cortex in one way, what if we start reprogramming?
Yeah. Are you suggesting we could actually use technology for healing?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. We can repurpose it. It's not technology itself, it's how it's being used that is so can have some deception and manipulation involved, right? So no, I love this, Ed, and hearing you share too about the power of when you said responsibility. Because of my own vision on the world and particularly quantum physics and understanding electromagnetic energy, every time we react, we send that ripple effect of the reaction into all the people and even plants and animals around us. And thankfully it goes the other way. When we respond instead of react, that also moves out into the relational field around us. And the nerdy world, we call it interpersonal psychoneurobiology. It's the study of how interpersonal human interactions actually do shape our psychology, our neurology, our biology, even to some level, our neuromuscular patterns and posturing, the little guy who's not being seen at home. Mm. Of course, after a decade of that, he's like this, the kid who's been loved and supported and said, own yourself, sit up tall, be strong. That all is the within that. So I love that you say that. I think that's a huge piece of wisdom that we can extract from today's conversation is that please do not underestimate the power of your own presence and how you impact others through your ability to respond. Right? Mm-hmm. And you've seen that and you have such great energy. I mean, just sitting here with you, I can feel, that how much we're playing off each other in a positive way. But of course that can happen in a negative. And I think I know I've seen it so many times in my practice, Ed, where, a leader that is not really doing their work and is stuck in the rat race, and even if they have the best of hearts and the greatest of intentions and they don't really want to, it's hard to show up leading with heart if we're not ever making that choice to slow down a little bit and do some of our own work, And so I wonder now as we talk about, another big place where the interpersonal psychoneurobiology or relational somatic psychology, it can be called, where that impacts is in our family of origins. Mm. So I'm curious, just as we get closer to closing this episode today, where are things at now with your dad? And what have you seen, and any other family members, but especially dad, since he's come up? Yeah, where are things at today?
I didn't think I would get that emotional.
It's all right. It's all welcome here.
Yeah, today I'm happy to say I have an incredible relationship with my father. We're friends, we chat, we don't work together, but my father and I chat, my mother and I are close again, my sister, my relationship with my friends, like I look at the people around me and I'm like, my life is so different than it was.
So blessed.
Yeah. And it was a choice to do the work. I stopped my life. I dedicated so many hours.
Yeah.
And I see the fruits of that labor.
I appreciate your tears so much, man. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
One of my best teachers taught me that if we just allow our tears to happen as they dry and we don't wipe them away, as they dry on our face, they will paint stained glass stories of our what the inner teachings are. So I'm feeling that, Ed, and I'm so happy to hear that that's where you're at with your dad today, and to extract the wisdom that's applicable to anyone that's listening. You know, yeah, Ed, you had to make that choice. You didn't have to. You decided to make that choice to prioritize your own personal development, your own truth, not being a fraud anymore, even though you were a lovely fraud and you were doing a lot of great things that you ought to still be proud of.
Yeah.
You knew deep inside of you that it wasn't fully you.
Yeah.
Right? So in my language, like say you've earned all that you've brought forward by living in your heart, and allows you to lead with your heart. And I'm sure your dad, you know, so proud of you and loves you so much for all that you've done, you know. And I guess, yeah, the closing piece here before we wrap is to just say, yeah, what are you dreaming awake now? Mm. Now that you have earned so much, the work's never done. Like, yeah. Congratulations on getting where you are, but
yeah.
What do you see next, both in terms of growth as well as any challenges?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of growth, I'm trying not to wipe away the tears, by the way, because of the quote. In terms of growth, one, this process doesn't stop, so I really would love to learn how to slow down more in life and keep going in my interpersonal relationships, seeing where I still project. It's not like, oh, I fixed this one or that one. It's a lifelong journey. And I'm excited also with the projects this year that I'm doing, other than helping really good land stewardship projects that I'm really proud of, the people who are doing them, and I think they're aligned. Also excited to launch a website called Vida Collection and an app called Experience Vida that basically connects people to more authentic local experiences when they come to places like this to slow down some of the things we see in Costa Rica, like overdevelopment and the kind of tourism that doesn't leave money locally. So our app is basically an app for healers, practitioners, local tours, and the website is almost like a similar to a lot of these B&B sites, but for sustainable and regenerative homes, like the one you built.
Yeah, and so, Vida app, like, which of course we're here in Costa Rica, so don't know Spanish. Vida is life, right? It's the life app. Where can people keep in touch with you at if they want to find you? In the Digiverse.
Yeah, the best place is actually Substack. I really love the platform because I get to write more and express more. And it's really simple. It's livethepossibility.news. Or they can go to my website, livethepossibility.co. I have a newsletter, a ton of interviews there with top leaders of projects. And there's so many free resources there that basically the work I do as a consultant written. So I always tell people, go to the website, read the newsletter, and yeah.
And I can testify, I've been on Ed's newsletter for quite some time, and it's just beautiful writing, and your heart comes through so much. So I cannot thank you enough for being here today, Ed.
Really
appreciate it. Amazing soul that you are.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for the viewers for tuning in. This is Lead With Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen. Please stay tuned. Lead With Heart airs every Wednesday on Now Media TV, and we'll be back before you know it with more amazing guests, stories, and the power of vulnerability.